and they did not love their lives to the death. You know, your testimony is powerful and it defeats the enemy. So when we testify to the Lord, it produces a reaction in the realm of the Spirit. So I want you to watch the screens now as we hear a powerful testimony about last year's spring seed.
Good morning. I'm here to talk to you about spring seed and what it means to me. And spring seed has been an extraordinary time in my life and the life of my family. Over the past several years, I've been through some pretty challenging times, physically, financially, emotionally. I was forced into a position where I found myself about $85,000 in debt. And unknown to myself that was happening, I was forced into a position where it became either feed and pay or take care of my family. And so I unfortunately had to pursue bankruptcy. And miraculously, what has happened over that time is where I started at $85,000 in debt. At the end of 2006, I was told that I was $27,000 in debt from $85,000. Not understanding how that happened or how it was possible for it to happen, I remember meeting with Pastor and saying to him that, you know, $27,000 a year ago to me, I would have gone, this is impossible, I couldn't do this. But now I look at it and I see how God is so faithful when we're faithful. And I'd say, $27,000, that's nothing to God. Supernatural debt cancellation. I mean, it's in God's plan for Him to bless us when we're faithful and obedient to His word and His call in our lives. I was taken out this last week and told that I was being promoted to a management position in our plant. And along with that, several increases that are going to come as a result of that will help help relieve me financially. And I think, you know, the important thing, as exciting as all that is, it goes back to spring seed. I was at a point financially when I sowed my spring seed 2 years ago and last year that I couldn't give what I wanted to give because of what I had going on financially in my life at the time. And I felt terrible about the fact that I couldn't give more. And God reminded me that it wasn't how much I was giving, but it was the heart and the attitude that I was dealing with. And that if I was faithful to do what He told me to do each step of the way, that He would bless it and that He would let it grow into my life, into my family's life. And that this time was going to come to an end where we were struggling. And I can tell you now that we're at that time right now. That time of struggle is coming to an end. And God's blessing we're seeing in our family right now. And it's just incredible.
Wow, it's time for real change, not rhetoric of change. Only God can change, amen? You know, this past week, I was really moved. I was watching the 700 Club, and I was running on my treadmill, and watching young Pat Robertson, I don't know his name, Pat Robertson's son, whatever, Gordon, yeah. I was watching Gordon, and they did a segment that the Holy Spirit just jumped out at me and said, that's what I've called you to all these years. And I went, God, that's powerful. Now, I don't know if you realize it, but February is where we celebrate Black History Month. And every week we try to put some kind of insertion into our Coastal View to just pay honor to those African Americans in our generation that made a huge difference. And as I was watching this segment, and I wanted to share it with you here in just a moment, but the Lord showed me again the calling that's upon my life and upon this church. We are a multicultural church. I make that proclamation. I stand in that with my life. It is a calling from heaven. It is not just preference. It is the will of God and the plan of God. Where black, white, Hispanic, Asian, doesn't matter what your ethnicity, ought to be able to come together and worship under the auspices of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that. And so in Beechwood, it's an interesting thing. We went there proclaiming that. And that part of the east side of Cleveland, you know, you think, well, I don't know how it's going to be multicultural. But from day one, our congregation over there is totally multicultural. But it's not without the price of those that paid it to pave the way. Martin Luther King Jr. said in one of his speeches that Sunday morning at 11 a.m. was the most segregated time in America. And we used church to do it. He and Billy Graham, you may not know this, teamed up early on in Billy Graham's ministry to say, we've got to bring change to the local church. And so it's with tribute and honor to Dr. Martin Luther King and evangelist Billy Graham that we share this segment with you. I think you're going to be blessed. And I think we ought to celebrate the Lord after we view this particular video as well. You guys got it ready? All right, let's show it.
Martin Luther King once called it the most segregated hour in this nation, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. But that began to change thanks to Dr. King and the man who would later be known as America's pastor. Reporter Charlene Israel has that story.
The year was 1953. America's borders were filled with racial tension and uncertainty. The Reverend Billy Graham was sailing uncharted territory when he did the unthinkable. He held a crusade in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where thousands of men, women, and children of all races sat together and worshiped the Lord.
But when God looks at you, he doesn't look on the outward appearance. The Bible says he looks upon the heart.
He took his fight to end segregation to the streets.
Graham had been preaching here at Madison Square Garden to thousands nightly, but very few blacks came. So at the suggestion of a colleague, he asked Reverend Howard Jones for help. Jones recommended that Graham take his message to the streets of New York, and that's exactly what he did.
He said, I decided I was never going to speak to any more segregated audiences. And he said, I wanted to be that way. He said, what would you suggest that we do? I said, if blacks aren't coming, go where they are. He said, what do you mean? I said, go to Harlem.
Graham preached at Salem Methodist Church to thousands. The next week, he went to Brooklyn. And slowly but surely, the Crusades in New York became increasingly integrated. Prominent singer Ethel Waters attended the event and rededicated her life to Christ. Graham even invited his good friend, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., to attend one of the events.
We thank thee this evening for the marvelous things which have been done in this city through the dynamic preaching of this great evangelist. We ask thee, O God, to continue blessing him. Give him continued power and authority. And as we listen to him tonight, grant that our hearts and spirits will be open to the divine inflow.
Graham faced a flurry of criticism from both blacks and whites, but that did not deter him.
Some whites wanted to know why you would fool around with these people, you know. And some said, if you're going to integrate your team, we will not support you. We will not give you money. So they used all kind of pressures on him. They said, I don't care. I'm going to stick by my guns.
Some of the criticisms were that Mr. Graham was not concerned about the black community and that he didn't speak enough about civil rights.
Graham went to Dr. King for advice.
Martin Luther King suggested to me that I stay in the stadiums in the South and hold integrated meetings because he was probably going to take to the streets. He said, I'll probably stay in the streets and I might get killed in the streets. But he said, I don't think you ought to because he said, you will be able to do things I can't do, and I can do some things you can't do, but we're after the same objective.
And so he did, holding crusades from Arkansas to Alabama.
So here we were, with neighborhood after neighborhood after neighborhood in my state on the verge of violence, and yet tens of thousands of black and white Christians there together in a football stadium. And when he issued the call at the end of the message, thousands came down, holding hands, arm in arm, crying. It was the beginning of the end of the Old South in my home state. I will never forget it.
He even went to South Africa, preaching before an integrated audience in 1973.
Man has a will of his own. God gave it to you.
Graham also worked closely with Presidents Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, and Nixon, urging them to ensure equality for all.
Then there's the race problem. And this problem, it seems to me, should be put in its proper perspective. It is a world problem. Greater improvement is being made today in America than perhaps any great nation in the history of the world. Because we at least are attempting to solve the problem through understanding, through dialogue, through legislation.
In the end, Graham's legacy is one that is filled with a message of love, togetherness, and unity.
But I think Billy has proven the fact that in Christ, there's no east or west or north or south. We just love him.
Charlene Israel, CBN News.
Aren't you glad this morning for men like Dr. Martin Luther King and Billy Graham? Why don't you stand up with me? I'm going to challenge you to do something. I want you to go to somebody that doesn't quite look like you on the outside and say, I'm sure glad you came to church today, honey. Come on. Come on, go find somebody. You don't look like me, but you sure do look good. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, tell them I'd rather not be any other place but right here, where every person, no matter who they are, rich or poor, black or white, brown or yellow, can come together and worship the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's give God a big hand clap. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I'm going to ask my friends back there in the sound booth to give me a little more energy on this mic. And my voice is just a bit challenged today. But I want to take the next couple of minutes and share with you what I believe is a message that'll take you from where you are to where you've always wanted to be. If something is out of reach, if something is beyond your ability to reach, you need an aid. This 6-foot ladder will help you get places where you ordinarily cannot get. The other day I came home and Tina was on the top of that ladder. And I said, what in the world are you doing? She was putting up some writing on the wall and up a high of probably about 12 or 13 feet up on our porch, and I said, you better be careful. And I looked around, and there was Precious, our little granddaughter. Now remember, she just broke her arm in two places, so she has a little cast on, and she's asking Precious to hold the ladder. I think, okay, I mean, whatever. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, I want you to turn there in your Bible, that if we repent, if we change our mind and our purpose, and please understand me, hold that scripture there. A lot of people think repentance, we've defined it by our church's definitions, by our experiences, that you got to come to an altar, weep, howl, you know, wipe your tears, blow your nose, tell God you're sorry for getting caught, and ask him for mercy. And we think that's repentance. But you know that people can stop sinning in their life and still have not repented. Because repentance by its definition means to change your mind and your purpose. In other words, you don't think the same way as you did prior to asking God to forgive you. He tells us in this scripture that we need to turn around and return to God, that our sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, everybody say that with me, times of refreshing I like that. Of recovery. Of recovering from the effects of heat. Of reviving with fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord. I believe we're in a season of revival. Revival, not the way we've defined it historically in the church, where we have a week of meetings every night and we go 2 or 3 or 4 weeks and then we could proclaim to people, hey, our church is in revival. You know, you can go to church and still not be in revival. So we need to understand, what is revival? It's a refreshing. It's a renewing. It's a renovation of our life. It's a realizing that God is taking us from one level to another level. I believe that God wants to take you to His dwelling place. And His dwelling place is called the penthouse. Now, in order to get to the penthouse, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to need to get a ladder. You're going to have something to take you from where you are to where God wants you to be. Not long ago, we heard Dr. Miles Monroe teach that repentance really comes from the word root, pent, or penthouse, the place that is far above where you currently are. That tells me that when I change my mind or I renew my purpose according to God's word, I can fully expect to go from one level to another level. Because it means to go back to the top. If you've been, and I've been, living in the basement, in the cellar of our experience, where we're really not getting breakthrough, maybe it's time to get in the elevator of God's kingdom and push the top floor. You know, you ever go to a hotel where you need a key to get to the top floor? That's the way God's speaking to us today. He said, the key is your repentance. Push the P on the elevator and realize that you're going to go all the way to the top. But notice something about getting to the top. In order for that to happen, you have to use the rungs of the ladder. And I want to share with you this morning, just quickly, 4 steps that are essential to getting from where you are to the place called God's penthouse. Because I believe today that God has not called us to run with the chickens. He's called us to soar with the eagles. Now, if you're sitting next to somebody and they're sitting there clucking, you know, they're just clucking about how long the service is. They're clucking about the offering. That's all they care about is money. I've heard that so much. That's just an excuse of people to justify their own selfishness.
Right. Right.
Cluck, 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 cluck. But if you're sitting next to somebody today that lets out that screeching sound, That eagle sound. You know, Isaiah 40 tells us that we can run and not be weary. That we can walk and not faint. Do you know that? That's what the Bible says. He said, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. In other words, God's saying, look, I can give you a new perspective. I can take you out of the barnyard. And I can take you to the heights of heaven. Where you can get my divine perspective on life. Or you can live in the barnyard of containment, of day-to-day routine, being a person who looks for someone else to help give you support. Throw some chicken feed down in front of you and keep your head pecking in the same old place every day. Or you can get up and mount up with wings of eagles. And you could soar high above and far above every other creature. And where an eagle himself can see literally for miles the prey of his object. And he could begin to fly toward that thing, swoop down, and take it away before it even was able to turn its head. God wants you to get an advantage. He wants to take us to his penthouse. Take us to the place that we could no longer in ourselves try to attain. If we gave all our money, we worship with all of our might. I mean, we try to do everything but repent. This is a season where people have to change their mind. I shared with our singles in our conference this weekend, which is a powerful conference that we had, that Nelson Mandela, in his inaugural message in 1994, says that we must all stop thinking too small. Because when we think small, it affects people around us. There's greatness inside of every person in here this morning. You are a creation of God. God has breathed the Spirit into you. You have a purpose and you have a destiny. And that's why it's so big. In order for God's largeness to come forth, you and I have to begin to think big. We need to begin to think beyond our containment. We need to look around and say, you know what? I'm tired of living here with Farmer John. I'm tired of being a chicken caught up in the chicken coop and having to worry about Mr. Fox taking my stuff. I'm about to be transformed and elevated into the relationship of a divine perspective. We're talking about changing our mind, changing our purpose. See, to refresh something means to revive it, to replenish it. And I believe the body of Christ has been weary from receiving week after week stale bread. We need a fresh revelation of God. You know, it's time for us to move up and move out. It's time for us to look for a change. I believe there's a direct correlation between repenting and releasing a refreshing in our life. We talked about it last week or a week before. We talked about how disintegration comes in our life. When we find our life broken up in small pieces, and it seems as though we can't put it back together again. But God wants to take every one of those small pieces and put it back together again. And not only restore us, but take us beyond where we've ever been. God doesn't just restore us to the original. Let me tell you something. When Adam fell, and Adam was great. Adam was powerful. He was a co-creator with God. He walked with God in the garden. But when he fell, ladies and gentlemen, and Jesus Christ, the second Adam, came into this world and died upon Golgotha's hill to bring mankind back in relationship with God, he was not just restoring you and me to a relationship with God the way Adam had it, but he was restoring us to even a greater relationship, a greater intimacy through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, I believe today changing your mind and purpose is the way you get to the top of God's penthouse. I think there's a growing dissatisfaction in the church with business as usual. Church business as usual. It's so predictable, it's boring. It's so predictable, we've been defeated before we even sing the first hymn. I mean, we've already got it down in our minds. We think that, you know, we're going to come to church and we're going to go through the homily. We're going to go through the rituals. We're going to go through all of our religious equations of how we approach God and go home the same we came. But this is a new day. This is a time when people are saying, you know what, I don't want church as usual. I don't want to come to the house of God and leave unchanged. I want to come and I want to be refreshed. I want to come and I want to be renewed by the Spirit of the Lord. See, Jeremiah 31 and 25, God says, I am going to saturate the weary soul. I am going to replenish every sorrowful soul, every sorrowful person. You know what that tells me? That if you came into this church this morning and you've been weary from life's challenges, if you came in this place this morning and there has been sorrow that has grown up in your heart, listen, be of good cheer because you are the object of God's affection this morning. Hallelujah. He's got you on his mind. He's got all the angels in heaven pointed toward your seat. He's got all the power, all the virtue that is stored up in his person, and he's about to release it toward you. Why? Because you have become the object of his affections. God is near the brokenhearted. That's good news. And that's why we can't expect church to be church as usual. I believe the time has come to expose our past conditions because they've been hidden beneath the overlay of preoccupation with self. I don't want to be preoccupied with self. I want my past condition to be changed and to be altered. And I've come to the presence of God today. Who knows but that this will be my very last time on this planet to be able to come together in a corporate anointing like this, to be next to you, to be in the same place where we all worship the Lord, where God said in Psalm 133 that where the unity of the brethren is, there he commands the blessing. Who knows that this is my last opportunity to break through? I will not take it lightly. I'll look at this as an opportunity of God changing my life and taking me from one level to another level. I refuse to be preoccupied with myself. It's not all about me. It's all about Jesus. All about Jesus. I think there's a fresh opportunity today to reorient our life to God. To reorient our life through faithful obedience. This is a fresh opportunity to realize that God doesn't want to keep you in prison. God doesn't want to keep you in the basement. Genesis 41, 41 to 44 talks about Joseph. And you know Joseph's plight, sold by his brothers, thrown into a pit, and then he was into a prison. And from there he had all kinds of difficulties and challenges. But God said, listen, I have put my hand of favor upon Joseph's life. Can I prophesy to you? I don't know where you've come from. Maybe you came out of a drug rehab the last 6 months. Maybe you've been involved in all kinds of improprieties of some kind or another. Maybe you've been in a sexual adulterous relationship. Maybe you're not living for God. Maybe you feel like because you failed so many times that you're disqualified to be able to go to God's penthouse. I've got good news for you today, because it matters not where you've come from. It matters where you are going to. And just because you're in a pit today, just because you're in a prison today, does not mean that God doesn't have a plan of a great palace awaiting you and your family. We've got to begin to get excited, to think beyond where we are, to recognize this isn't it. There is more for me in the kingdom of God. I mean, waking up in the morning and saying, God, this is a grand day. I can hardly wait to see what you're going to do today. Ladies and gentlemen, you're on your way to the penthouse. Come on, look at somebody and say, let's go together. Let's go together to the penthouse of God. But I think in order for that to happen, something has to occur in our life. The reign of God was prophesied in Zechariah. The reign of God was prophesied through Prophet Joel. Peter prophesied and quoted it in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. He began to declare, this is that which the prophet Joel began to speak. That in the last days, God would pour, everybody say pour. Pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And the word pour is powerful because it means a continual outflow of God's presence. He said, I'm going to pour it out. We've experienced times of blessing, times of God's pouring out, but that's not God's plan. He wants us to live under a continual outpouring of his presence. And that's where we're headed. But the only way to get there is to get on that first step. And that first step, ladies and gentlemen, is called the reign of righteousness. The reign of righteousness. You see, you and I cannot get to the penthouse without first stepping on the rung of reign of righteousness. Did you know the priests could not enter into the Holy of Holies until he was righteous, until he had paid through sacrifice, until he had prepared himself? Now, we're no longer under the law. Thank God for that. Today, we know it's by grace. We know it's through the blood of Christ that we approach the Holy of Holies. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. This year in our spring seed, we're not sowing for stuff. We're not giving an offering so we can get a new car or a new house. And there's nothing wrong with that because God does respond to that. But I want to challenge our church this year. I want you to respond because you are going to sow towards your righteousness. You're going to sow to your life where you know you're not living right before God. And that God wants to bless you and change you. Why is that important? Because until you get the reign of righteousness in your life, you can't go any further in God. That's about as far as you can go. And I want to go further. I want to go all the way with God. I want to go into his glorious presence. I want to be found by him. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12 tells us that there is the place that God has for us to break up the fallow ground. For it's time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. See, when we prepare our hearts, God sends the rain. He sends the rain of righteousness. We're like dry and parched lands. We're like people who need a refreshing. And the way we do that is get into the Holy of Holies. You see, the object of that priest's passion was to get to the place where the tablets of God's law laid. It was called the Ten Commandments. The object of the priest was to go through the outer court, to go through the inner court, and to get to the place where God's law was kept. You see, it's called the Word of God. There can be no revelation from the Word of God until there is a rain of righteousness that comes down upon us. We're trying to go to the Word of God, and we're in unrighteousness. Church, today we've got to take a look at our lives and say, wait a minute. I've got to repent. I've got to change the way I think about God's kingdom. I need to change the way I think about my relationships with others. I need to change and begin to adjust myself according to the Word of God so that when I get into God's presence, I can behold the commandments of the Lord, because in His commandments is the revelation that I need for my life. This is a day when we cannot any longer depend upon our human intelligence, our own ability, our own talent. But we have got to solely depend upon the revelation that comes from God's eternal Word. Isaiah 55 in verse 6 tells us the analogy of this whole concept. He said, the Lord, while He may be found, seek Him. He said, call upon Him while He is near. He goes on in verse 7. He said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous his what? Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his what? Watch this now, because this is important. What is repentance? It's a change of your mind. It's a change of your purpose. Here the prophet Isaiah is saying now, here's what I want the wicked to do. Forsake his way and the unrighteous his thoughts. I need to change my thinking about the kingdom of God. I need to change my thinking about my part in the kingdom of God. Who I am, my purpose, my destiny. I need to, my thoughts have to be adjusted. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. This is an open invitation to whosoever will. This is an open invitation. You can come. Senator Obama is going to be in Lorraine today. And the paper said it's by invitation only. It's not open to the public. Well, that might be okay for a politician. But let me tell you about God's kingdom. It's open to the public. Right. It's open to everybody. He has said, I want you to come and I want you to partake of this kingdom. Because he goes on to talk about it in Isaiah 55. He says there that it's like the rain. My word is like the rain. The rain comes down, and the snow from heaven did not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. God's saying, listen, you get your righteousness intact, and you can get into my holy place where my word is revealed. And my word will be like water. My word will be like refreshment to your soul, and it will cause what's lying in your life dormant right now to begin to bud and bring fruit. Every person in this room has a potential of a great harvest in the kingdom of God. Stop letting the devil lie to you that you're washed up, that you're unworthy, that you don't make a contribution, that you're too old, that you're too young, that you're a female, that you're a male, it doesn't matter. Listen, you are not disadvantaged. You are advantaged when you come to the Word of the living God, and God will give you revelation. The reign of righteousness. Mark chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 is such an intriguing scripture, because there we read, and He said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside. Everybody say outside. You know, there are people that are inside today that are really outside. You may be in this church, but you may not be in the kingdom. You may be in here, but you're really out there. And I thought, Lord, what does out there mean? And I found in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23, it is those that the Bible refers to who return to their vomit. In other words, like dogs that return to their vomit, those that are without. They follow Jesus, but you know what they did? Symbolically, they were not ready to receive righteousness. They were not ready to stand in the showers of righteousness. And so what they did, they'd come to God, and then they would return back to their habitual sin. This is a year of new beginnings, 2008. And I speak over your life. I break the power. I command the power of habitual sin to be broken in your life. That continual cycle of things that have caused you to be limited in your revelation of God's Word. I bind that thing in Jesus' name and I loose you from it under the power of the Holy Spirit. It is time for us to be loose from habitual sin. It is time to turn around the statistics inside the church. Because statistics tell us there's as many divorces in the church as there is out of the church. There is much alcoholism in the church as there is out of the church. Why? Because those that are in are really out. And those that are out need to become in. Need to break the power of habitual sin. And I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to every preacher in Northeastern Ohio. I'm preaching to all of us who have responsibility. Every leader in the house of God. Let the leaders lead, follow, or get out of the way. Let us raise up a generation who live right, love everybody, pray hard, who live holy lives. I'm tired of all the justification on the Christian television stations that tell us it's all right to divorce your wife and marry the secretary. I'm tired of everybody talking about how it's all right to all this excessive prosperity message while the people in your church can hardly make their house payment. I'm a little bit weary of all the abuse and the manipulation of God's people. I think it's time. Come on, somebody, it's time. It takes the reign of righteousness to experience the reign of revelation. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands. He who has a pure heart. But there's another rung on this ladder. And it's called the reign of the Word. I've talked about it a little bit. But let me tell you something in Joel chapter 2 and verse 23. Woo! I like that scripture. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain together. God will pour it out upon every person who will step on the word of righteousness. You can expect then the revelation of God's word to begin to be revealed to you. Moms, there are things in your life right now that you don't know what to do with your teenage daughter or your teenage son. Gentlemen, there's things in your business you're not really sure. Should you invest here or not there? You really don't know. But let me tell you something. There's a time coming for the church that in business, in family, in commerce, in community, it doesn't matter, in politics, because we've stepped out of our old way of thinking, because we've taken the first step of righteousness, God said, I will give you the word. I will give you revelation. You'll have understanding where nobody else will have understanding. And it will cause the church to begin to rise in this generation. I still believe in the prophets of old that said there's coming a day when those that don't know God will run down those that do and say, how must we be saved? Because your life is so different. Pardon me for getting excited. To pour means to flow downwards. It's a continuous stream. It's a continuous stream. You see, what happened in Acts chapter 2 was an outpouring of God's Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John chapter 7, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But you know what happens to rivers and streams when there's no rain? Oh, the body of Christ, because we've not had the reign of righteousness, we haven't got the reign of the Word. Because we haven't had the reign of the Word, the revelation of God's understanding, we're drying up on the vine. We're drying up on the vine. People walking away from God for no apparent reason. Coming up with excuses how the church didn't do this and the church didn't do that. And I can't trust this person. I can't trust that person. Playing the blame game. Listen to me. This isn't the time to begin pointing outward. It's a time to allow the Holy Spirit to point inward. Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. I don't proclaim to be perfect. I don't proclaim to be righteous on my own accord. I have been saved by faith. I've been saved by grace through faith, just like you. I put my shoes and my pants on the same way you did this morning. I have to struggle with the same things you struggle with. Just because I carry a Bible, have a microphone, and preach on Sunday morning doesn't make me any holier than you. That person next to you might have sung like a songbird during the worship service, but that doesn't make her any more spiritual than you. She may have shouted hallelujah a little bit louder than you, but that doesn't make her or him any more spiritual. It's all by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the application of his eternal word. Come on, somebody. You're not disqualified. You have been qualified by God's grace. Hallelujah. God, let your word rain down. Let the riverbeds be filled again. They've been dry. And we need to see them filled again. We need to see them flowing again. They've been all dry. They've been cracked. They've been in a famine situation. This is what church looks like. It's like there's no hope. There's no way. But God said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And suddenly there'll be a gushing, running, mighty river that'll flow down from the mountaintop. And it will begin to cause all the people to be refreshed. Lift up your hands and say, Lord, refresh me. Lord, refresh me. Lord, fill me. Lord, fill me. Oh, with your rain, let it rain, Lord. Let it rain. Let the waters begin to flow again, Lord. Let it be like a mighty rushing river, oh God, in my soul once again. I've been dry. I've been parched. I've been just a trickle. But God, I don't want to just be a trickle. I want to be overflowing with the power of your spirit. I'm on my way to the penthouse. I'm on my way to the penthouse, church. No, I'm not stopping here. I've got some more to go. I got another mountain to climb. But God has something for me that's bigger than I've ever experienced before. Come on, give somebody a high five. Come on now. Hallelujah. This isn't it yet. This isn't it. This isn't it yet. We're not done yet. This is not over yet. You say, well, this is what the church is. No. We're just getting started. We're just starting. We're just beginning on this great journey. Call the kingdom of God. But there's another rung that you have to have in order to get to that penthouse. The reign of righteousness, no doubt. The reign of the word. But there must be a reign of the Holy Spirit. A reign of the Holy Spirit. A washing. A cleaning. The reigning of his word. The reigning of his spirit. To flow. To give us, oh God, that eternal budding. That eternal fruit that comes forth in our life. It all depends on the turning. Joseph in Genesis 26. There was a famine in the land. You remember that? A famine in the land. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. He began to talk to him. And because there was this famine, everybody was leaving. We had a prophetic word given to us last week by Tommy Tenney. Naomi left because of a famine. Todd, he's with the children this morning. He didn't leave during a time of famine.
Right.
I've been preaching in this church 28 years. People have left because of famine. Because of hard times. Because the ground got cracked. Because it dried up. But God said, no, I've got a people who change their mind about what they see. They see things, but they think differently about what they see. I don't see famine. I don't see a cracked ground. I don't see the impossible. You know your mind has been renewed when the impossible begins to look logical. I'm telling you, God is beginning to change the thinking of his people. We're winners. I was born victorious. I'm of the tribe of Judah. Honey, God sends the praisers first. You've got to know what stock you're from, who you are in God. When you got up this morning, the devil began to tremble and thought, my God, he's up again. My God, there she is singing praise again. And what did Isaac do? Isaac began to sow in the time of famine. He said, it may be dry on the outside. It may be cracked on the inside. There may be a tough time. I've told pastors all over America, in my city, in my region, we have lost nearly 7,000 manufacturing jobs since 1998. We've had more people move away from this church in the last 7 years because of job relocations and famine. Looking for bread. And the devil thinks he's going to destroy the work of God here in Northeastern Ohio. He really thinks because a little famine came that he can somehow defeat this ministry. Defeat your life. Todd was so broken and embarrassed about bankruptcy. Personal challenges in his marriage, children, house, job. He said, Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do. My life's falling apart. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get the reign of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get the reign of the Word. I'm going to begin to live right, love everybody, and pray hard. I'm going to begin to sow in the time of famine. And the Bible says that in verse 12 of that same chapter 26, that Isaac reaped 100-fold in the same year that he sowed unto the Word of God. Church, I want you to know that God is going to cause an increase in your life. Now stop thinking it's diamonds, bracelets, and Mercedes-Benz. Because you can bling bling all your way to hell. You can drive your car all the way to the gates of hell. Let me tell you something. What I'm looking for is I'm looking for the increase of God's presence in my life. So when I go to a restaurant, I'll get a word of knowledge about that waitress. And I'll declare to her, God just told me you're studying for sociology right now and you're your sophomore year. But that's not the call of God on you. When you were a child, you were saved and you got called to missions. You're supposed to be in Uganda right now at an orphanage. And I just came to tell you what God told me to say to you. By the way, give me the hamburger with fries. Come on, somebody. I like Pastor Bill Johnson's church over in Redding, California, where he's teaching his people to be released in the miraculous. And a man was standing in the grocery line, and he began to pray for a woman who was 90% deaf in one ear and 85% deaf in the other. He was standing behind her. She had her groceries. He had his. But God has changed his thinking. He said, I'm standing here now not to buy these groceries, but I'm here because this woman needs to be touched by the Spirit of God. And he said, ma'am, excuse me. I know this might sound strange, but can I pray for you? She said, sure, no problem. He began to pray for her. Suddenly her ears opened up. She was totally healed. The cashier began to weep. The people in line began to shout, began to thank God for the miracle. All of a sudden, the manager came over and said, oh, Lord, what's taking place here? This woman actually got healed. He gave the boy the microphone and says, attention, Giant Eagle shoppers. There is a miracle that's happening in this place. And if you'll come up over here by the bread and the milk, we'll be able to pray for you as well. How many know that's where God wants to take us? That's church. Now, wait. I know it's Sunday morning. And I know we're getting a little excited. But don't get nervous. It's almost over. I'm telling you something. God wants to take you to the penthouse mentality. The latest miracle I heard was these boys were driving in the car from this church on the highway, going 70 miles an hour, passing up another car. And they saw the people in the car signing to each other. And the boys in the car who were climbing the ladder to the penthouse mentality started to motion to the people in the car that were signing to pull over because they felt like they were passing them not by but for purpose. True story, documented. Pulled over, prayed for them. All the people in there that were deaf were healed. All of them were healed. Got back in the car and went on their highway journey. Where is God taking you? Who are you intersecting with? Where is God placing you in this day? Let me tell you something. There is a God who cares for you. There is a God who understands your pain, who knows your sorrow. You are the object of His affections. The Bible says that He will satisfy the hurting heart this morning. God's looking for you. Church, we need to get the same mentality. I release you in the name of Jesus to go out into this community and be a miraculous testimony for the glory of God. Let's stop being churched inside the building and let's take the building outside to where the people are. Dr. King told Billy Graham, if you want those blacks to come to your church, go to where they are. Why are we afraid to go where people are? It's all right, man. Val, are you here this morning? I think I saw you. Yeah. Talking about how she was in the hospice, singing to her friend Lori's sister. What were you singing that day? Jesus? In the name of Jesus? Say the name of Jesus. Come on up here and get that microphone. Watch, watch. Lori's sister was only supposed to live 3 days. Began to sing praises. She lived another 18 days. And while Val was singing this song, don't need no instruments, just sing it a cappella. You want me to? I'll be a duet with you. Get a microphone for her, please. Listen now, because this is really important. She began to sing. Say the name of Jesus, say the name. So precious, say the name. And a lady around the corner of the hospice heard her singing and said, would you come and sing to my family member? Didn't know anything about salvation that I knew of, right? Did you get a microphone yet? Give her this one right here. Just give her that one because I need her to sing right now. That wouldn't work, does it? Does that work? I think it works. Just go ahead and start singing it.
Say the name.
And as she released that anointing, this woman came from down the hall.
Say the name.
Tears on her face. I don't know you, don't know me, but baby, could you come over and sing to my mama?
Say the name.
And she walked into that room. Come on, walk with
me. So precious.
And carrying that anointing and releasing that anointing.
No other.
And the family began to weep and worship as she released her anointing.
That can calm your feet.
Not long ago.
And dry
that family member died.
Tears.
And the woman said, listen.
Away.
I'd like for you to come to sing at her funeral. Now, we're Roman Catholic.
You don't know what else,
and Val's been brought up in church. She's about as Pentecostal as they come.
And you can't find,
but she's anointed. And just a few weeks ago, she was up in St. Peter's up on Oberlin Avenue. To all the people and the priest, I began to sing. Keep on singing. And she sang that song. She said, suddenly the priest began to weep. The family began to weep. Listen, you say, I don't have a lot. I can't preach. I don't know what I can say. Listen, if you've just got a voice, lift it up to Jesus. Matter of fact, why don't you do it right now? Come on, lift your hand up. Sing with Val.
So precious,
say the name, other name
I know that can calm your fears and dry your tears. Wipe away the pain when you don't know what else to pray. And you can't find the words to say.
Say the name.
Just say the name.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, with your heads bowed, let me say this to you. You just ministered, Val, as God's leading you right now. There is showers of blessing that will come after the rain of righteousness. There is a storm in the heavens right now waiting to be released by God's voice. A great restoration awaits you, and it begins with a returning to the Lord with all your heart. And if you've lost anything in life, the release of this rain, the release of this blessing is going to bring a replacement for that which was lost. God said, I will restore to you what the locust has eaten. And I declare to every mom, dad, boy, and girl in this room, in the hearing of my voice, it's beginning to rain. And the showers of blessing are beginning to fall upon your life. Don't stand under the shelter of our own self-indulgence. Come on out into the rain. Lift up your hands to God's heaven and declare, Father, rain down on me. Change me, God. Fill me, Lord. Oh, God, I'm hungry. I'm desiring a move from you. I can't do it anymore. I'm alone. I want to live, Lord, where you are. I want to go to your penthouse because I am hungry. And your head is bowed and you say, Pastor, this morning, I need God's refreshing in my life. I've never received Christ as my Savior. I love him and I want to now submit my life to him. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. If that's you today, I want you to stand up where you are. Walk from where you're standing and meet me at the front of this building and just stand in reverence to an eternal God, a loving God, a God with a plan for your life. You say, Pastor, I'm here today and I need the rains of God's refreshing. I need to come back to righteousness. I need your word. I need the Spirit of God. I want the blessing of God, but Father, I don't want it at the expense of my unrighteous life. And you're hungry now for the Spirit of God to move. I want you to stand on your feet if that's you. Come on, if that's you, stand on your feet. I've got to have him with all my heart. You're already born again. I'm not questioning that. I'm calling you now to a higher place. I'm calling you now to a place where you'll say, I'm not standing in the place of the familiar any longer. I'm going to take my faith and I'm going to begin to ascend to the place of God's calling. I'm going to take a risk. Holy Spirit, I know you're holding the ladder. Holy Spirit, I know you've got my back. And Lord, I want to see something that I've never seen before. I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. If that's you, stand to your feet. If that's you, stand to your feet. Do it now. Altar ministers, I want you to come across the front of this great building. You turn that up just a little bit, please. Oh, rain down. Come on, lift your hands in worship. Lift your hands in worship. Rain down, Holy Spirit, rain down. We've been a dry and weary land. We've been a parched people. We've been hungry for more of your glory. I call you this morning to the house of faith. I call you to come to another level. Some of you need to move out from where you're standing and come in agreement prayer now. Don't wait. God's speaking to you. Climb the ladder to God's penthouse. Climb the ladder to God's victory, to God's glory, and let him change you forever. Come on, everybody, lift your hands in thanks. Lift your hands in praise. Lift your hands in glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, this is a precious time in God. This is a precious time in God. I need you, Lord. I need you, Holy Spirit. I hunger for your word. I hunger for your righteousness. I need you, Lord. Refresh my soul, Lord. Refresh my soul, Lord. Refresh our soul, Lord. We need it today, God. upside down just a little bit? I want to speak to marriages this morning. I feel God's spoken to me about marriages. I'm going to pray for your marriage right now. If that's you, I just want you to take your hand of your spouse. If they're not here, I want you just to begin to pray for them. Father, we pray right now for every marriage that's been under attack, that is fracturing, oh God, that's foundation is crumbling. We pray today, God, for its complete and total restoration. That, Father, they would find the renewing and refreshing power of your presence here right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There is a solemn presence of God's power here today. And your need is God's object of passion. And you bring them together. And when your need touches his passion, virtue leaves him and fills you. So you seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. This is an awesome moment for us in the kingdom. God's saying, listen, if you've been in famine, begin to sow righteousness. Do not try to buy your way with money into heaven. Do not let preachers, pastors, convince you that if you give them your money, God will give you his blessing. God's blessing comes upon the heart that is broken and contrite. Because I can give a check. I can give a $100 bill in faith and still be in sin. But what power there is when I've come to the cross. I've hungered for righteousness, the reign of His Spirit and His Word. And then I bring an offering to God and I say, Father, thank you for saving me. I didn't come here today to ask you for anything. I just came here to bless you because you blessed me so much. Are you ready for that kind of lifestyle? Are you ready for that kind of church? Are we ready to take the region for the Lord Jesus Christ with His miracles and with His love? I commission you today as prophets and prophetesses. I commission you today as workers of miracles and healings and signs and wonders. I declare over your life today the power and the virtue of Christ. So live right. Love everybody and pray hard. Because this is the day of God's restoration. I welcome you to the altar to pray. There in your seat, we dismiss you now in the name of Jesus. We have a visitor's reception for those of you who would like to know a little more about our church. In the back left are where we were meeting. Up here in the word room, which is the far left side where you're standing. There's a double doors there. My daughter Mary will be there. We love you with all of our heart. Pray for us. We pray for you every day that you would live out your days according to His purpose and plan. Have a wonderful afternoon. God bless you in the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you, Lord.